Back on downtown, it's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. A little birthday greeting from Stevie Wonder, an appropriate song for the day, as we're joined by Eric Meehan. Hello there, sir.
Hello. It's not my birthday.
No, it's not your birthday, but...
All right. My daughter's sitting here at the table wondering, like, what weird, fantastical music I'm listening to. No, it's my son's. It's my son's birthday today, eight years old. And hopefully, as certainly his mother and I are not planning on trying for a third, he is my youngest and will forever be. So it's one of those bittersweet days because he's growing up very, very quickly.
Boy, they do that, don't they? Well, happy number eight to Eric Charles today.
Thank you. Yeah, we're he's living well. So he got to request a breakfast, which turned into Gosselin's donut. Mm-hmm. Dad got to get up at the wee hours to make sure that we got that, and then tonight we're getting fried chicken from the kebab den. So he didn't want anything that I made, which is frankly, I know at least a couple others in our listening audience are going through this as well. It's been one of those days, a day in which I discovered that indeed Mercury is in retrograde, and so on and so forth. So I hope everybody out there listening is, whatever personal chaos is swirling around their heads, I hope at least for 5-10 minutes here we can calm you down and take you out of it, because my goodness, crazy doings in the world.
That's why we turn to you, though.
Yeah. So we've been exploring all of America, and obviously we spent quite a time on California, which is for obvious reasons, because at any given time it comprises between 80% and 89% of America's total wine output. So you got to sort of genuflect to them. We've talked a little bit about the East Coast, so now we're going to turn to the third and fourth largest wine producing regions of the Americas, or at least rather I should say of the United States of America. Today we'll talk about Oregon, and then we'll talk about Washington State next week. Oregon. Obviously, a lot of people have preconceptions of a little bit of Oregon. A lot of folks have ventured out to Portland, which is obviously a very cool city, and indeed is clustered around Oregon and just to its south. Especially, there's a big part of the Oregon viticultural scene. But aside from that, people don't really know too much about it because it's rather a large state. I suppose if you want to think about it like a glorified, a slightly curvy rectangle, that might be the best for purposes of the explanation that we'll do today. But of course, in the south, where we're just north of the California border, you've got what's known as the Southern Oregon AVA, and that's the American Viticultural Area, right? And that was recently on fire. I did a check as recently as a couple of hours ago. It seems like that all has been pretty much quelled, which is nice. There were some wineries lost. Fortunately, not too bad, and it does not sound like there will be threats of the smoke issues that are going to threaten much of the Napa and Sonoma vintage from this year, but certainly that was a concern a couple weeks, as recently ago as really September 14th was the last major update that I saw. But that's an area that encompasses the Rogue River Valley, and of course people have heard of the Rogue River Valley because of perhaps Rogue Brewery and also Rogue Creamery, which is adjunct to the brewery and is the maker of actually some championship fromage. Also the Umpqua Valley. So these are interesting places that are growing, perhaps not what we're used to from Oregon, which I suppose we should kind of get to that. What we're used to from Oregon is grown up in the Willamette Valley, which is the area in and around Portland. And that is really the Pinot family. Pinot Noir has certainly become the king of Oregon wine, with Pinot Gris, which is its kissing cousin, being sort of the second most. And just to touch really quickly, we'll get back to the Willamette Valley because it's probably the most important, but just to quickly talk about the other viticultural areas that perhaps one might be on the lookout for should one, you know, end up in Oregon. Part of Oregon, just to the east, along the Columbia River from Portland, is the Columbia Valley, right? So this is a American viticultural area that actually straddles the Columbia River. So there is part of it in Oregon, and then the larger and much more well-known part of it in Washington State. And we'll cover that more deeply next week when we touch on Washington, because that's really the heartland of that. There's also the Snake River Valley, which it shares with Idaho. And they're growing some really, really cool stuff along the Snake River, Riesling and some other Germanic grapes. I haven't seen any available in Maine, but I know that, you know, if you venture outside of Maine, for instance, to the Manhattan, New Jersey area, I used to work with things from that region on both sides of the border. So do be on the lookout for that. But really what we need to talk about if we're talking about Oregon is the Willamette Valley, which I always kind of call the, you know, Burgundian's brother from another mother. It was created, pardon me, it was created by an enormous glacial lake called Lake Missoula. Missoula, obviously a town in Montana, but that was sort of where it was enormous, right? It covered, you know, thousands, millions of acres. And when the dam broke, and it actually broke many, many times over about 2,000 years, I think what it was my notes, 40 times over 2,000 years, the form of the dam called the Grand Moraine left what we call erratics, right? So erratics are boulders that you find in places that don't belong there. But the force of the water carries them there. So when this enormous lake, the dam let loose, it basically carved out what we now know as the Willamette Valley. The dam itself, this is always just kind of fun to mention, was this was an ice dam. It was 2,000 feet, they estimate. So we're talking, you know, a heck of a flood, biblical, if you will. So it carved out all this. And people used to think that the area was kind of too cold for traditional viticulture, right? It stretches from, it stretches quite a ways along the Columbia River to south of Eugene. Cool, wet winters, warm, dry summers, but they thought it wasn't going to be enough, right, to ripen grapes. But what happened is the first wineries were starting to build in the 30s, but it wasn't until really the late 60s and early 70s, and especially a guy named David Lett, who was of Erie Vineyards, he was the first guy to say, no, Pinot Noir in these hillsides will do something. And he, all of a sudden, started to win awards. David Adelsheim, who's Pinot and Pinots we carry, another one of the first guys, went into the mountains and said, okay, we're doing it here. And it was really, it was a revelation. It was a windfall. And today, I mean, you see investment from foreign companies, a lot of Burgundian houses, Jadot, Drouin. They're all investing in the Willamette Valley because they really see in it still some untapped potential. You know, there's still places for experimentation. And indeed, you see things beyond Pinot that are being grown. It's really kind of cool. I'm sure I'm running out of time, but yeah, just, you know, do check out Tempranillo from Willamette Valley, Viognier, Gewürztraminer, and then south of there, like I was saying, in the Rogue River Valley and also in the Columbia Valley, Tannat, Cabernet, Zinfandel, really, really cool stuff that you'll start to see bits and pieces of, especially with the COVID problem, because a lot of the places where they would normally sell these things are just shut down. So we may start to see some interesting things that we hadn't prior. I'm sure I have, like, what, about a minute left?
Just
left?
About a minute, yep.
Very good. Well, hey, I just wanted to just chime in and say, I guess it's not starting tonight, but we're going to start it next week, so I'll talk a little bit more about it. Summer Allen of Valentine Footwear and I are going to be doing a Facebook Live thing on behalf of the Downtown Bangor Partnership, checking in with local retailers, other businesses about what everybody's doing for the holidays, to deal with COVID, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I do hope that after you finish tuning into the Find Downtown with Rich Kimball program, you'll consider the following Tuesdays going into the holiday season, checking that out, 6 p.m. On the Downtown Bangor Facebook feed. We're going to do our best to really bring the best of downtown to everybody and let them know how they can how we can best serve them in the holiday season. So do be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, stay safe, everybody, and I'll talk to y'all next week, eh?
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to watching that. Enjoy the chicken tonight. Happy birthday again to young Mr. Meehan, and we'll check in with you next Tuesday.
All righty, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, with Message in the Bottle here on Downtown.